happy to announce that the Fretboard Journal now has three presenting sponsors. These are three brands that are behind us with everything that we do, including the podcasts and the videos, and they include Carter Vintage. Carter Vintage Guitars, where guitar lovers go for a good time. Gibson Guitars, only a Gibson is good enough. And last but not least, Martin Guitars. Martin Guitars and Strings remain the choice for musicians around the world for their unrivaled quality, craftsmanship, and tone. Can't thank these three brands enough for being presenting sponsors. Thank you, guys. Hey, gang. Welcome to the Fretboard Journal podcast. I'm Jason Verlinde, the editor of the Fretboard Journal magazine. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please keep all those Apple podcast reviews coming. Please keep emailing us at podcast@fretboardjournal.com. If you have feedback for the show or want to sponsor the show, and of course, please check out all the other podcasts that we do here at the Fretboard Journal, Luthier on Luthier, as well as the Truth About Vintage Amps podcast. Today on the show, I am talking to Jontavious Willis, who is an incredible young blues musician out of Greenville, Georgia, 24 years old. I found this guy online, as I'm sure some of you have, and was thoroughly blown away by everything that he's been up to. But most recently, he and some of his cohorts found, as a lot of us did, saw the footage of that third Robert Johnson photo. He decided to start the Robert Johnson Challenge. This is a project with him and Christone, Kingfish Ingram, and Marquise Knox, three incredible young black blues musicians. They're taking turns on Robert Johnson's discography, performing a song each week. And Jontavious just did Steady Rollin' Man on a borrowed guitar and completely blew me away. And that was why I reached out to him to get him on this podcast. We, of course, talk about a lot more than just Robert Johnson. Jontavious is a true blues historian. He is out there collecting old 78s, obsessively listening to them. He is also, as you will hear, finding a lot of other young blues musicians out there, and they're networking even during the time of this pandemic. They're jamming online. He offers some tips on that, and I was thoroughly blown away. I can't wait to talk to this guy more. I can't wait to get him in the Fretboard Journal, and it is so inspiring to hear that a guy who really did start guitar playing that long ago is already such a virtuoso at this genre. What else can I tell you? I am holding in my hands. I'm going to flip it. That is the Fretboard Journal's second electric guitar annual. If you have not pre-ordered it, please order it now. We will send it out to you immediately. What do we have in here? We have Ian MacKay talking about his Gibson SG and all of the gear that got him through all of those countless Fugazi gigs. We've got Mike Baranick talking about the collaboration he did with the guy from the Knobs YouTube channel. We've got Will Bernard. We've got an interview with many of the people who built gear for Walter Becker of Steely Dan over the years, the ZT amplifiers. We've got a profile of them. On and on, a ton of great stories. By all means, if you are into electric guitars and you like what we are about, we hope you will order it. Supplies are very limited, so order by going to fretboardjournal.com and clicking on the shop tab. We also have a new issue in the works. It's going to be mailing out in about a month, so if you haven't subscribed to the Fretboard Journal proper yet, subscribe. You can get a digital edition or a print edition, and we would thoroughly love it. This podcast happens in part thanks to a couple of sponsors. Of course, Mono Cases, monocreators.com. They make gig bags and studio monitor stands and backpacks of all sorts, and everything that I've ever seen them create has been incredible. Check out all their line of cases, monocreators.com, like I said. Also, Retrofret Vintage Guitars over in New York City. They consistently get some amazing, amazing guitars and amplifiers. Right now, they've got a Gibson EH-125 tube amp, Charlie Christian style, from 1942. They've got a 1974, which is my birth year, Gibson Les Paul Deluxe that just came in, and on. Moserites, perhaps coolest of all, a Rickenbacker A25 lap steel from 1934. That is a piece of history. Go to retrofret.com to see their entire lineup. They do great restoration and repair work too. You will love working with them. And by all means, tell them the Fretboard Journal sent you if you reach out to them. All right, here's my conversation with Dontavious Willis. Thoroughly amazing blues musician. You should be following on Instagram and Facebook because this Robert Johnson challenge, if nothing else, is thoroughly awesome. Hope you enjoy it. Dontavious, you've been on my radar for a little while, but I guess the reason that I reached out to you yesterday is just this Robert Johnson challenge. These videos are amazing. and we'll get your whole life story eventually, but I want to hear how this project came about.
Okay, well, the new picture of Robert Johnson had just emerged, and I called my homeboys, and I'm like, you know what? I'm like, let's just do a thing called the Robert Johnson Challenge. And they were like, okay. I said Kingfish, Kingfish Ingram, 21 years old, out of Fries Point, Mississippi. I know you know him. But we said, let Kingfish start it off, and I come second, and Marquise will do it. Marquise Knox, 29, out of St. Louis, Missouri. He'll do it third, and we rotate it. So this time it's going to be myself. I did the you seen the one I did yesterday?
Yeah.
Where I posted Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Marquise will go next, and then Kingfish will go. So we call each other and figure out what song we want to do. And it's going to be very interesting because, you know, it's 29 songs, and you know, with 29 songs, and some of them are double takes. So we got a lot of stuff in store, and we're doing it. You know, we're, like, actually doing, you know, some people cover the songs, and so they just cover the song, and, you know, they do their own spin on it. We're trying to stay very true to the original, but also putting in our own, you know, little spin on it. But so that's kind of how it happened, and that's what we've been doing, just fooling around with it. And I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, man, it's amazing. I mean, I have so many questions for you, but because... what did it mean for you being a professional blues musician from the South to see that third photo? What impact did it have? I know there's been a bunch of photos, or not a bunch, but there's been a few photos that may or may not have been him, probably not him. But what did it mean to see the third that was legit?
well, okay, I'll tell you what that photo did for me. It really was like eye-opening. He is such a young black guy that's just like, you can see the life in him, you know. A lot of people try to depict this mysterious man who sold his soul at the crossroads to become the best guitar player ever. But see, you have to go listen to Lonnie Johnson first to realize, like, who were really, like, the best, like, the best guitar. I didn't say the best guitar player, but definitely worth mentioning. But, you know, I just seen him as, when I see him in that picture, it's just like, he's one of my homeboys. He's like, you know, 26, 25, 26, 27-year-old, you know, if you listen to that Crossroad Blue that Marquise Knox did, it was so good because, you know, Marquise is older than Robert Johnson ever was. You know, I mean, you know, Robert Johnson would be 27. So I seen an innocent young dude who was just ready to fill the world with music, you know. I don't see anybody, like my brother Marquise said, I don't see anybody that just sold his soul at the Crossroad. It's just somebody that studied music and loved what he did, you know. So that's really that picture did a lot for me. You know, it meant a lot. It's like he was taking a selfie.
How immersed were you? I mean, everybody who loves blues, or some people who even don't love blues, love Robert Johnson. But how many of these songs that you guys are going to tackle have you performed before or tried to do an arrangement on before?
I don't play any Robert Johnson series out in open, but I play all of, I know all the songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know all. Yeah, I think Marquise and Kingsley know all of them too. I mean, we don't play them out because you know it's a lot. Some of those songs, so many folks do. You know, I'm not saying, you know, they're good as people do. It's good to do music, but you know, I like to do a lot of the folks. I like to show people how people have influenced people. You know, a lot of people stop at Robert Johnson, never go, you know, Robert Johnson recorded in 1936, you know, as far as country blues go, well, I say rural blues because a lot of people get mixed up, like I'm saying, country music and blues, but the rural blues had been recorded back in 1924, with guitar and vocal, so it was a lot of heavy hitters that had came in 11 years before Robert Johnson, so I try not to do too much Rob. I try to do like a lot of 20 stuff, but with that picture, it made me go back and listen to that stuff and go back and just resubmerge myself. But that was some of the first stuff I was fooling around with when I, even before I started playing guitar, I knew those lyrics and things.
So how did you grow up? When did you first get exposed to this music?
Yeah, young age. I imagine I grew up in Greenville, Georgia, population of 800 plus. Yeah. It's about 50 miles south of Atlanta, but the interstate goes right around it, so we're not a big city. Don't have a Walmart, apparently. I mean, you can hear, obviously, we don't have one, apparently. I guess we don't deserve one. But anyway, I started there. Started playing guitar when I was 14. Got my first guitar December 24, 2010. I was playing open tuning at the time. I was tuning to my voice because nobody around me was playing the music that I wanted to play. And a few influences, you know, in the beginning really made me want to play. My dad would always play a lot of music around the house on records. He's not a musician. He just, you know, play records. So I was singing since I was 3 years old. And, after a while, I just ended up really having a real deep connection with blues. Because it was like the stuff I was around and my grandfather taught like that. You know, I'm country too. I'm a country boy. And so I just really hit it off with it when I heard it. And that was it. And I just kept up with it. And that's how I got to where I am today. Along the way, I met a lot of good people. Taj Mahal and Kip Mo. I went on tour with them. Maybe did combined, I don't know, over 100 shows with them, opening for them. Kip Mo produced my last album. He was Taj was the executive producer. That was recently nominated in 2020 Grammys.
Yeah, spectacular for traditional class.
Blues. Yep. And so that's basically it, man. Never stop. I still love it. I'm looking at all these records I got on. I got 78s. I collect 78s. I got so many 78s from the 20s and 30s and the 40s and the 50s. And I just sit here. I got a modern Victrola. And I just sit here and I listen to them. And, you know,
that's an expensive hobby. Those 78s aren't inexpensive.
Yeah. I'm talking. I got some good records too, man. I got like Leroy Carr and Blind Blake and, you know, Lonnie Johnson. I got some good stuff in there.
That's expensive. I tried to dabble in that for a brief second, and then it was like, record auctions, I'm out.
Well, I tell you what, after you get done with this, hit me up, and I seen some pictures. They good. They very, like, V+. Like, they good. They real good. But, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
And you're young enough that you probably, if you had wanted to, could have learned a lot about music off of like YouTube. Was that the case?
Mm-hmm. Well, I never learned any music off of YouTube. Now, as far as looking at videos and stuff, I did, but I never was a person to really learn anything from YouTube because I didn't understand what I was doing. You know, I'm just now understanding what I'm doing better now. I've seen things on YouTube that definitely solidified my love for blues. Muddy Waters had it was a live performance that he was doing. And, man, the people were going crazy. And it made me feel so good. I think the Hoochie Coochie Man, the 19-year-old, and the folks were just losing their mind. I was like, ooh, I got to have that. You know, I got to make people lose their mind. And so that solidified it. But as far as my playing, I taught myself, like, say, 97% of all I know.
No teachers?
No. They couldn't teach me. I was an open tuner. None of them play open tuner. I mean, after a while, once I tuned into standard, October 2015, I took a lesson from this guy named Gary, who owned a guitar shop down in Columbus, Georgia. And he taught, and he did teach me. Now, I guess I can say he was a teacher. He taught me this blues in G. But the classes were like $45 a lesson, and I was like, I was at school, and I didn't really want to spend $45 every week or two times a week. So I just took that one lesson, and I just messed around with the G and the C7 shape, which I was already using, and open D. And so I would move that up and down the neck and fool around. And I got all my progress on video and audio. So, you know, I started playing guitar, like I said, December. But by February, I could play pretty good in open jungle. But I didn't start that standard until 2015. Like I said, I got all kind of videos and stuff to show my progress and all that. But I didn't really have anybody to sit me down and teach me too much. I just listened to the record and find out what key it in. Either if they're playing slide, it's an open, or they're doing the hard pull out like a banjo open, or if it's chords, and I know it's in standard, and just move from there.
That's amazing. So just to be clear, you just were nominated for a Grammy, and you had your first and only guitar lesson 5 years ago?
First standard tuning guitar. Yeah,
okay.
Standard.
Yeah. I'm not going to quibble over that. That's still amazing. Did somebody show you the open tuning? Did somebody give you some pointers? No.
It was an interview with Muddy Waters, and he said I got my guitar in Spanish, and he strummed the guitar, and I listened to it, and I was like, okay. But what I did know, I don't open D. I don't like that open G. I don't like that low E, the string. What is it, the D? I don't like that. So I tuned it like a. I found out later like it was Hawaiian tune, and I would tune the E and the D the same. I tuned the B and the A the same. I tuned the G and the low E the same. You know, in Spanish or whatever. I don't know notes, but it'll be the same like the Spanish. But I changed those two bottom strings, so it'll be just three notes, just doubled up. And so I used to, if you go look at Lucy May Blues, that's the tune that I'm playing in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just found out how to work it in that. You know. I got video. I was on stage with Taj Mahal 2015 August. That was before I got my lesson, and I'm on stage playing in that open tune, and then the folks going crazy. You know, it's just about how you cut up the notes. I was crazy about doing 8-bar blues and all that kind of thing without just making the changes down. You don't have to make the change on the 5th and the 7th fret. I used to make the changes down there at the bottom, first 2 fret like a banjo. You know, like Barbecue Bob and Charlie Lincoln from Atlanta, them guys in the 20s, that's how they did it. They made the changes at the bottom and then go all the way up to the top, like Funhouse and Robert Johnson. Mm-hmm.
Did all that time with Taj Mahal and Keb, did those guys teach you anything, or was it more just you were supporting them?
Oh, they taught me way more than the guitar. They were teaching me like stuff that I could like really think about, like life. they taught me about life. Yeah, I probably spent 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour with Keb, just talking about guitar and really playing some guitar. And probably I don't think I ever spent time. The most me and Mr. Taj ever, we never played together, I don't think. Well, we haven't. Now, he sung while I played, but as far as just teaching me, no, they wouldn't teach me. They didn't teach me that. I remember Ms. Kale said, "You already know the blues." I love Mr. Kale. Them like my, you know, I stay with Mr. Kale when I go to Tennessee sometimes, and I call Mr. Taj all the time. They're like my uncles. They really are.
It's amazing. We've been talking about all this blues from the 20s and 30s, but, you know, when you listen to Spectacular Class, you're plugged in. It's like electric blues. Is that just where you have evolved to and where your heart is right now, or you just like showing people all facets?
Yeah, all facets of the blues. I can do anything with the blues, man. I tell you, I love everything, man. I really do. Because being young and from Georgia, not too far from Atlanta, you know, popular music was always in my ear. So I never downed any other style of music. But my love is real good music. But I really like that early stuff. I always like playing with a band. I got some stuff that I recorded and released. It's just like Chicago blues. Like early Chicago blues, like 40s, 50s, and I recorded straight to tape. You know, I just like putting myself in different outfits. I got did some stuff on banjo with my friend. We did St. James Infirmary the other day. I'm gonna put that on my page one of these days. And we did the St. Louis blues with banjo and guitar. Yeah, man. I just like making the good music, man. That's all I like.
What the one thing that that struck me, among other things, is when you were playing Steady Rolling Man, I know people, and you've probably met people from festivals who've spent tens of thousands of dollars to get the right Gibson L1 guitar like Robert Johnson had, and have paid thousands of dollars for lessons, and they don't sound anything like Robert Johnson. You're playing, what was that, like a ES-125 or something?
I don't know what it was. My friend got a 9 Gibson guitar that's on her wall, and I'm like, can I play that? She said, yeah. It's a 1960 something. I don't know. It's an art stop. All I know. That was my first guitar I had was an art stop. But yeah, man. I don't know what it was.
What I mean, you channeled Robert Johnson, but you also, if you closed your eyes, it sounded like an L1 acoustic like Robert Johnson's. Where do people get it wrong? Where do people screw up? Or are you just born with it?
Well, I don't know if I was born with it or not, but I knew I definitely was around a lot of those folks. I mean, I think the bad part about a lot of people think blues is so simple, you know. I think that's one thing, especially, and people have the mindset of more popular music now when they could go into blues. So when they play a Robert Johnson song, they're not understanding that this man is playing with his fingers. He's not playing with a player. You know, that's one thing. And you're not gonna ever get the sound unless you're hybrid picking and playing with a plexiglass. You're just playing with a plexiglass by itself. You're not gonna get that sound. So you have to use your hands. You have to work the bass while you work the small string. And so once you get that going, then you know that's the biggest thing about country blues. It's independent. Also, where does your voice sit in the music? Like, it's all one thing. It's not like, you know. So I think that's the biggest thing. People think it's real simplistic, but I mean, you got a million styles, maybe not a million, but you got like 100 some styles of blues. You know, you got the Delta style, yes, but what is Delta style? You know what I'm saying? Because you can't really define what Delta is, because if you listen to Robert Johnson recording, he's from the Delta. Mississippi Johnson from the Delta. You know, it depends on like what style of blues you're talking about. When, you know, I think when people say blues, they just take like, I don't know, a real like the dun 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 dun, you know, and they just play that, but not understand like you got to really listen to the. And I don't think a lot of people go back and listen to the original recordings. I think they listen to people covering those original recordings. But if you go back to those original recordings, you will really hear that it's a lot of stuff going on. You know, I think that's one thing I listen to. I don't know how much stuff I listen to, man. And what, you know, the historical significance of all of it and where it fits chronologically, like all that stuff just made me so happy, you know, like this is what I do every day, you know. But yeah, man, I think that's the thing. I mean, when you go back and study those folks, you really see that it's not just easy stuff, you know, like a lot of people think it is. You know, you got to use them hands.
Yeah. And you talking about all those blues styles makes me wonder, when you're writing an original song, do you have a style picked out for it, or is it just whatever it is?
Yeah, you know, it depends. I'm unorthodox in my writing and my playing her song. So sometimes the lyrics can come first. Sometimes the music can come first. Or sometimes I can listen to a song like Take Me to the Country. That's my interpretation of Chickasaw Train by Memphis Minnie. Mm-hmm. I think she put it out in 1934. If you listen to it, I'm playing Chickasaw Train, but I'm mixing it with Blind Lemon, Black Snake Moan, and a little bit of Blind Blake. But yeah, so that's sometimes it's one of those, that kind of thing, you know. But sometimes it's it's pretty unorthodox. I just wake up with a song on my mind, and I just see, you know, whatever key I sing it in, that's the one I'm playing it in sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But that's it.
And you must be playing all the time. Do you have a routine?
I play all the time. Yeah, I just put the 12 strings. I mean, I'm not playing the prep, just playing to satisfy my not playing.
What do you get out of, I mean, there a lot of those 78s, most of them have been reissued, and you know, in some form, if not put online. What do you get out of the physical 78 that you wouldn't if you got a CD.
You know, you can't, you know, the audio is not the same at all. Yeah, and it depends on some of the stuff that's been reissued. What it kind of like, the stuff I got, some of the best copies, some few of them, or some of them just only 10 copies exist, you know? I got one by Dad a Stovepipe. All Chicken Look Alike to Me. It's only 10 copies of that, you know, and all the rest of them sound worse than the one I got. And so some of them cases, it's rare like that, but some of them is just, you know, just to think that this thing is from 1938, and, you know, and just to think that the hands it went through, you can, like I said, you can hear it so well. And so I just sit right down, you know, I got a sound bar with my TV, but I sit right in front of the Victrola, I got it raised up, and I'll turn it up, you know, right to about 8 or 9 where it ain't too loud, but it ain't too soft. And man, you let night fall and you got something to eat and something to drink and just sit there and relax and for a little over 3 minutes and get up and switch it to the other side. You know, and that's it's good, man. Sometimes I play along with it. I don't know. It's something about having these 78s, man, for sure.
Yeah. You must have like dealers you go through, right? For these kind of super rare things.
Yeah, I got friends that collect. I got friends that collect. Most of them are the ones I got these from friends. Bought them from. Some of them have been gifts. Some of them I find myself on the road. And you can find a lot of 40s and 50s stuff easy, like Big Bill. You know, Big Bill Brunsley, his 40s stuff. His early stuff he did in the 20s and 30s. That those are rare. But his 40 stuff easy to find. Louis Jordan, I always find him. Fastball, I always find that. You know, stuff like that you can find. It's good stuff, though, but it's a lot of it out there because they recorded a lot of records. But sometimes you look up, I found some Speckled Red in Atlanta. Anyway, yeah, it depends on. I get it from different places, but 75% of it come from friends.
Nice. Good friends.
That I bought them.
Yeah.
Well, I bought them from. They ain't give it to me.
Yeah. And guitar-wise, what do you... You didn't know what you're playing on Steady Rolling Man, but what are you normally playing these days? What kind?
I got a Gibson L00. That need to be refretted. And I got a... Right now, I got a National Tricone Custom Build 2017. Nice. Black Pearl tuners with a peg headstock. With a custom headstock with the stock pickup in it, the stock National pickup cutaway. And my baby here, made by Mr. Todd Cameo out of Madison, Wisconsin, my 12 string, my Jordan 12 string here, that with a wonderful headstock with the emblem of Georgia on there. It's like he put it on there for me. With the counties etched out, like my counties, I told him to etch out for me. It's etched out in Georgia. Like, I love Todd. Todd is amazing.
What style was that one? The Todd Cambio. I know he'll like emulate
the 12. It's 12 string. It's the 12 string Angelina.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's a little bit bigger than the L00, just a little bit, but it's not like Led Belly or Blind Willie McHale. It was kind of patterned off a barbecue bar 12 string.
Nice. Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, let me see. Now, you know, I have to warn your listeners. It might be out of tune. Don't judge me. Yes, there we go. Go get it right now. Thank you. in the evening. Baby, when the sun go down. In the evening, mama. Baby, when the sun go down. Ain't it hard to tell, ain't it hard to tell, when the one you love is not around. When the sun go down.
Love it.
Yep.
How do you follow up that? Wow. So the Robert Johnson challenge, you guys are taking turns. You're gonna go through all the songs?
All the songs, every one of them. Even the second tape.
All right. So this is gonna go on for like a month or so, maybe longer.
Oh no, it's gonna be a long time because we're doing it every week, and it's 29. So we're doing 29 weeks.
Got it. All right.
Yeah, man.
What else do you have going on to get through these times with no gigs or anything?
Oh, well, man, just connecting and talking to my friends. We've been doing these things. I've been calling them, the younger guys that I know that, like, you know, 18, 19, 21, 22, 23. And I'm 24, by the way. I'm not no old man. You know? I've been calling them, and we've been doing these things. I call them deep dives, you know, or swimming in the pool. So we get like six people in a call on the phone, and I call them, and we just jam on the phone. I know that sounds crazy, but check out what I found out. If the person is soloing, the soloist has to be lower than the rhythm player to find out where the changes are. They can't predict it because if they're too loud, a lag will start. And then, you know, and if the lag does start, the rhythm player has to hold on a while longer so he can find out when the changes come on. So they learn them how to, you know, play with one another, and it also teaches them how to play with that person. So when they actually physically meet up, they can play with each other. And so that's actually what happened here recently. I went and got one of my friends out of Augusta, Georgia, and brought him down here with one of my friends. And they jammed on the song. They've been practicing and playing on the phone for, you know, the last two weeks.
It's incredible.
And I can send you, oh, man. Yeah, you have to see, man. I've been doing a lot of stuff with these younger cats, and I got a friend named Sean McDonald and a friend named J-Hop. Both of them are my Georgia folks. J-Hop plays piano and guitar. He's 25, but Sean is 18, and he plays piano, harmonica, guitar, bass, mandolin, banjo, drums, like everything. And he plays different styles of blues. And once we get done with this, I want to show you him and my friend J-Hop playing Cold Feet by Albert King, and I want you to see me and him playing Tommy Johnson Asking for Water and see the difference and how different the two are. It's so good. It's so good. But basically, that's what I've been doing. I've just been really finding out who's who and who's coming up, because there's been a lot of young guys that I didn't know anything about that really enjoy blues, and they're from, these southern young black guys. They just from here, and you got to find them out. You know, you have to post something on Facebook, and then somebody go on your comment and say something about it. You're like, whoa, like, you know, if people don't hear it, or if not in the media, you know, you don't know what these people are. You have to just find them. You find these people that you can just sit down and talk to, because it's kind of, they got the same background. So that's what I've been doing, man. You know, trying to keep sane and listen to my records, and that's about it.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's beautiful, though. You're finding each other out by commenting on social media?
I can literally show you. So when we get off the phone, go to my post where it's myself, Marquise, and Kingfish.
Yeah.
If you scroll down in that post, it was a guy that, I'm not going to say his name, but he was in the comment section. He was like, hey, brother, I'm from Baxley, Georgia, and I play harmonica. And I'm like, let me go see. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, his tone is good. You know, you can tell he just started. But I have him on my page, and he caught me on Messenger just like this. He's like, man, I didn't know no more young black guys out here playing this. I thought I was the only person in the world. And I'm like, you know how bad that is to think that you're the only person doing something? You know, like, but now he heard me on the radio, on the XM radio, and he was like, man, I love the harmonica player you got on this song. And I'm like, okay. And I introduced him to the harmonica player. That's my friend. And so, yeah, they're popping up. You just got to find that way of networking and creating that, you know, just a safe place for people to talk and a safe place for people to meet each other and grow amongst each other. So this ain't like it was 40, 50 years ago and everybody got a, you know, somebody right up the road that play or it's a music store. A lot of these people are so far apart from music stores, you know, they have to order all this stuff online and nobody around them can really play the music they're playing. So we're trying to find old folks and connect them, you know. Yeah, that's really it, man. And you, I seen your number from Washington. You know, I'm the artistic director. You ever heard Port Townsend?
Oh, yeah. People love that place. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the artistic director there.
Amazing. Well, there was supposed to be one this year, right?
Yeah, but it's going to be August 1st through August the 8th of 2021.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully we're out of the woods by then.
I hope so, man.
Yeah. I hope so. You got any recordings planned that we should know about or anything on the horizon?
Well, I know we got some interest. I would just encourage everybody to really tune in to the Robert Johnson Challenge because it's gonna get kind of crazy. So I would just let everybody just tune in and also compare them with the original. Compare the way we're doing it with the original song. I'm not really telling you to tell me what we like. We know Robert gonna always be the man. But just listen to them, you know, give it the ear and really tune into those challenges because they're leading, all of this is leading somewhere.
I love it. Jontavious, thank you so much. This was amazing.
Man, no problem. No problem at all, man. Thank you for having me. And, yeah, I'm glad to be here, man.